Okay, bottom line. Chav Tesla Mabez. The Mishnah had said that you say that even though on Shabbos you're not allowed to blow shofar, but that wasn't entirely true everywhere. In the times of the Mikdash, they would blow in the Mikdash. And then it says, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that they should essentially carry on that practice even in Yavne, where they relocated. And then it says, a question here in the Mishnah about whether that's only Yavne or any other place also where there's a Beis Din. Okay, so the bottom line, Chavtes HaMikdash. Amrulo echad Yavne echad kol makom. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna the Amora says, well, you know, it's not just about that there's a Beis Din there. It says v'im Beis Din. Rav Huna says that the intent was that this is something that has to be done im Beis Din. My v'im Beis Din, the Gemara asks. The Gemara asks, what did that mean? And Gemara answers itself that Rav Huna meant, it means b'fnei Beis Din. So when Rosh Hashanah is Chal B'Shabbos, and this is now after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana that you blow shofar in Yavne, or possibly also in other places where there's a Beis Din. Rav Huna, the Gemara says that's only im Beis Din, that's only bifnei Beis Din. Gemara says le'apuke shelo bifnei Beis Din, not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah shechal b'Shabbos if it's in a place where there is a Beis Din, but you're just not in the Beis Din. Shelo bifnei Beis Din, that's not allowed. Masiv Rava. Rava, the Amora, asked the Kasha from a Braisa. In this case, it's from the Mishnah. He says, but if that's the case, then the Mishnah doesn't read straight. And it's a long, 10-line-long analysis that's a Kasha against this interpretation of the ruling of Rav Huna. Because look what it says in the continuation of the Mishnah. It says, V'od zos haisa Yerushalayim yisera al Yavne. If you look back at the Mishnah, you'll see that after saying the machlokas about whether it's Yavne only or even other places where there's a Beis Din, it says, V'od zos, and besides this, V'od zos haisa, and additionally, this was another difference that Yerushalayim had over Yavne. Now, that so Gemara says, my V'od zos. What does that mean in addition? Ilei mekid katani. Well, does it refer only to the one that it says here explicitly in the Mishnah about how even the suburbs are included in that rule? Then that's not additional. It says, then zos mi boile. It shouldn't have said biot zos. It must have been something else going on, that there must have been at least one other difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne that is not explicit in the Mishnah. Ela de Yerushalayim, it must be like this. De Yerushalayim token yechidim. It must be like this, that in Yerushalayim, even individual people would carry their own shofars and they would have individual blowings. But in Yavne, not. That's what Gemara thinks, that it might have been the non-explicit distinction between Yerushalayim and Yavne. But then the Gemara is going to say, but that's not so. That isn't the intent of the Mishnah. That can't be. You know why? Because of Ki asa Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, when Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef came, and whenever the Gemara does something like this, like somebody came, it means that they came from Eretz Yisrael here to Bavel, if that's what we're speaking from, or if we're speaking in Eretz Yisrael, then it means came to us here in Eretz Yisrael. But the point is that Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef came, and he is a Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, which means that he actually is based in Bavel. So he came and reported back what he encountered in Eretz Yisrael. Ki asa Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar, ki mesayim shlicha tzibura tekiya biYavne. He says, you know what they're doing in Yavne when the shliach tzibur would blow, mesayim shlicha tzibura tekiya biYavne? In Yavne, you know what would happen? Lo shama inish kolunye mekol tekiya sadiyach yidai. He says, you couldn't hear Kol Unye. You couldn't hear the sound of Unye. I think Kol Unye just means you couldn't hear yourself. You couldn't hear your own sound. Mikol Tkiya Sarichida, because of the enormous blast that everybody in the room had, whoever had a shofar had, and they blew. So you see that even the Yechidim are blowing, even in Yavne. Therefore, that could not have been something exclusive to Yerushalayim. That could not have been the distinction between Yerushalayim and Yavne, which means there must have been some other distinction between Yerushalayim and Yavne that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, so as to account for why the Mishnah says V'od, that another one is here the way the suburbs of Yerushalayim are also getting to blow on Shabbos. Elalav, so this is what the Gemara says. It's an interesting, just historical point here, is that they were actually having individual people blowing shofar in shul in Yavne. So, that's just, okay. Anyway, Elalav, the Yerushalayim token, Bein Bizman, based in Bein Shalom Bizman. So it must be, have to say it like this. It must have been like this, that the difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne must have been like this. Ela de Yerushalayim token bein bizman beizin bein shalom bizman beizin. It must have been that in Yerushalayim they would blow shofar on Shabbos on Rosh Hashanah in Yerushalayim bein bizman beizin bein shalom bizman beizin. Whether or not the beizin were actually sitting, which actually is a funny concept. I mean, we are talking about Rosh Hashanah Shechal b'Shabbos. Why are the beizin sitting there as a basin and they're not necessarily in shul? Even I mean, you know, the whole image, the whole scene is very hard. They were actually kind of sitting in session, or at least available for people to come and talk. I don't exactly know what that means, but anyway, they were sitting there, Rashi says, you know, until noon. Basin would be sitting there. So during in the morning hours, that's Bisman basin. So the morning hours, the basin would be kind of sitting there in session. And then the point being like this, there's a difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne. Yerushalayim, you could blow shofar on Shabbos even when they're not sitting. But B'Yavne, Bizman, based in Shiloh, Bizman, based in low. But B'Yavne, presumably the distinction would be that you would only be able to blow in the morning hours when the Bizman was actually in session. HaBizman, Bizman, but the Gemara's now B'day. Bizman beizdin miha token afila shalob bifnei beizdin. But if this is the way it's understood, if that is the missing halacha that the Mishnah didn't say explicitly but alluded to that there was one, so if this is the one that was alluded to, then the implication would of course be that bizman beizdin miha token afila shalob bifnei beizdin. That you see, it didn't have to be present at the beizdin to blow shofar on Shabbos in the place. You also, as long as it was Bizman based in. Anyway, so that's what the kasha had. This is a long kasha that Rava asked against this ruling of Rav Huna, or the interpretation of Rav Huna, where he says that you have to be in the presence of the based in. It sounds like it's against the implication of the Mishnah. And the Gemara says it wasn't really that strong a kasha in the first place, because it was all based on a kind of a calculated presumption of what the halacha was that was missing from but implied in the Mishnah. So the Gemara just easily refutes that by saying, well, no, actually, the point was, Gemara says, no. Well, the Ilav Yerushalayim token bein bifnei beis din shalom bifnei beis din. Well, b'yavne bifnei beis din shalom bifnei beis din. No, on the contrary, it was exactly Rav Huna's rule that was exactly implied in the Mishnah itself, namely, that there's a difference between Yerushalayim and Yavne. Yerushalayim, they would blow whether they were located in the Beis Din or not. That was the distinction that was intended. And Shiloh Bifnei, and in Yavne, it was only Bifnei Beis Din. That was what everyone said. It was only Bifnei Beis Din. That was exactly it. So it looked like it was a lot of talk here that really didn't get us too far. Ika de Masni Laha de Rav Huna Aha. Others have a whole other... See, Rav Huna apparently was on record as having said, in Beis Din, and all the yeshivas, they would quote Rav Huna this way, but in some yeshivas, they didn't quote this Rav Huna line on our Mishnah. They quoted the Rav Huna line as being a comment on a Braisa. We're going to see what this Braisa is saying, something similar, where that line of the in Beis Din would also be appropriate. Let's take a look. V'ikad masni laha de Rav Huna, aha. There are others who had Rav Huna's statement, the tradition of Rav Huna, that he said his ruling, aha, on the following braisa. Dichsiv, there's a braisa that opens on as a comment on a pasuk. Pasuk says in Emor, Bayom Kippurim, ta'avir shofar b'chol in b'har. B'yom ha'kippurim ta'avir shofar b'chol atzachem. On Yom Kippur of Yovel, this is referring to Yovel now, you have to blow shofar b'chol atzachem. We don't have any experience with this, really, so we don't really see this going on. The rule of shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel, we've made allusion to it numerous times in the past few weeks. It says that you'd have to blow shofar on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, b'chol artzachem. Melamed, the fact that it's kind of either b'chol artzachem, or because it says in plural, melamed shekol yachid v'yachid chayiv l'skoa, that every individual has a personal chiyiv to blow shofar. That's what it says in the Braisa. So this is not just a shofar sounding of a beis din. This was this, that everybody has a personal individual chiyuv to blow shofar on Yovel of Rosh Hashanah, like it's like Rosh Hashanah also. Amar Rav Huna ve'im beis din. And Rav Huna said, now this is how some read this. And Rav Huna, when he said his ve'im beis din rule, some understood that this is what he meant. He meant on this din of blowing shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel. Rav Huna says ve'im beis din. No, that's in conjunction with the Beis Din. My Ve'im Beis Din. And what did he mean when he said Ve'im Beis Din? Bizman Beis Din. Meaning it only in the morning time. Liapuke Shalom Bizman Beis Din. Dilo. So okay, there's another version of what Rav Huna was getting at when he said Ve'im Beis Din. He was referring to Yovel. And it wasn't referring to being Bifnei Beis Din. It was even Shalom Bifnei Beis Din. Just the point was that it had to be in the morning. Bizman Beis Din.
If you're having it Bifnei Beis Din, then you have to come to Beis Din. The whole point that we're not doing it on Shabbos is because of carrying. And if you have to do it in Beis Din, that means everyone's carrying the shofar to Beis Din, which is like more problematic, almost, than blowing.
Yeah, it's a good point. And probably if you were at the meeting where they were talking all these things over, you should have raised that objection. But they must have seen that as not being much of a problem. They must have seen that as long as people understand that you're going to Beis Din, so then maybe they're more intimidated and then they're going to...
They didn't have to bring air conditioners and refrigerator boxes and so on.
Well, still, I mean, the point is a good one, just that you weren't any... The problem was only that people were going to be carrying the chauffeurs around because they weren't competent to be able to do it on their own. So if you're in Beis Din and you're not competent, you're not going to be bringing your chauffeur to Beis Din to blow. There are enough people over there that are going to be blowing. So the only
supposed to blow.
Yeah, you know, it's unclear. I don't think that it really, really means everybody has to physically blow. I mean, because like on Rosh Hashanah also, everybody has a mitzvah to blow, but you do it through listening.
You don't have a chol, like you have a chol to take a lulav of an asherah. You don't have a chol to blow the shofar. You have to hope it's to hear the shofar.
Right, but I don't know what you're trying to say. Is it that you can be yotzei through shomea ka'onah, so that's how you're getting your kiyum of blowing individually?
Right.
If that's the case, so then is it the same as what happens on Rosh Hashanah? So they're identical in that way? Personal obligation to blow, but you get it through shomea ka'onah? Okay, it could be that's what's going on. I have to say, I don't really know much about the lumdus of the distinction between the chiyuv to blow on Yom Kippur of Yovel versus the chiyuv to blow on Rosh Hashanah. It looks a lot like they're the same. And so, okay, so it'll be the same thing. But at the same time, it's a little funny that story about Yavna, that people were actually blowing, that whole room full of people all simultaneously blowing shofar. That's a kind of a funny scene in my head. I'm not really... I don't really understand exactly what that was all about. But I would have otherwise said that it's as simple. It's that blowing in it.
It sounds more like chaos.
Maybe.
Yeah, it sounds like a tremendous chaos. Yeah, that's true.
Instead of a Shliach Tzibur.
No, it sounds like it was after the Shliach Tzibur blow, in which case, what was gained? So I'm not sure exactly what was going on there in Yavne.
Did they have an Erev in Yavne?
Did they have an Erev?
Most of them.
Was Yavne a walled city?
No,
I don't know. I don't know if they had an Erev in Yavne. But they would have left their chauffeurs there.
Yerushalayim, they can carry the chauffeurs.
Yeah.
Okay. And they didn't have an Erev or, you know, Wolf City, whatever.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot that we would need to explore more to make sense out of all of this. So in any case, Okay, Masiv Rava now. Same kind of a pattern. Rava doesn't like this ruling. It looks like he didn't like it on the top either. Tekias, he has this brisa. The brisa says, Tekias, and there's a, the Vilna Gaon takes out the next words over here. Tekias yovel doche es a Shabbos bigvulin ish ubeso. That's the brisa. It's a kind of a cryptic brisa. It says that the Tekias shofar on Yom Kippur would even be doche Shabbos, even bigvulin. Bigvulin means not only in Mikdash. Ish ubeso. What kind of an expression is that, ish ubeso? That's the end of the brisa. Gemara says, my ish ubeso. What did that mean? Ish ubeso. The Gemara says, well, ilema ish v'ishto? What does that mean? Ish ubeso means every man and his wife? Like the expression is, beso zo ishto. The pasuk says about you, the Kohen Gadol needs to be mechaper lo ad beso, beso zo ishto. Does that, is that what's being used? That's the usage of ish ubeso here? That's impossible. Ish v'ishto? Ilema ish v'ishto? It's, an isha mi mechayva? Is she mechayves in the mitzvah of shofar of Yovel? V'ha mitzvah sasei ben grama. But it's, after all, it's a mitzvah sasei ben grama. And policy is, kol mitzvah sasei ben grama nashim pituros. Women don't have such mitzvos. And so if that's the case, the pasuk that says, you, all of you have to blow shofar on Yom Kippur does not talk to the women. So then that can't be intent of the brisa. So if that's not what the brisa is getting at, what does it mean when it says ish ubeso? Elalav ish beveso. It means ish beveso, like ish in his home, just like for Hanukkah. We talk about the mitzvahs near Hanukkah, ish beveso. That's the wording of the rule of Hanukkah. That means ish beveso. That's the rule of Hanukkah, can is only in home. So that's what that sounds like. It's saying that you blow shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel, beveso. You're not in the Beis Din. Afilu shelo bizman Beis Din. That sounds a lot like there isn't any constraint at all about Zman Beis Din. You're doing it on your own. That sounds like it's against Rav Huna's ruling, which says that it has to be done Bizman Beis Din. And the Gemara says same kind of a dechi as it was before, that the diak that the kasha was based on is very weak, and it's on the contrary, it's confirming the point that Rav Huna was saying. In this case, not confirming it, but at least it certainly can support Rav Huna's point, namely, lo. Rav Huna would answer, that's not at all what the intent of that brisa is. Liolam bizman Beis Din. It just meant that you even blow shofar, even in your house, you don't have to be bifnei Beis Din, but still, the constraint of the morning is still in effect. It has to be bizman Beis Din. Okay, let's take a look what it says over here. Masiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asked Akasha from a brisa. It says the following: Shava haYovel Rosh Hashanah litekiya ulebrachos. Yovel, the Yovel, Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah are identical as far as tekiyos go and the brachos go. Meaning I think the Malchus Zechonos and Shofar's brachos. Ela shebe Yovel token bein bebeist in shekitshibo asachodesh ubein bebeist in shelo kitshibo asachodesh. So, however, there are some distinctions. Namely, on Yovel you blow shofar whether it's kind of in the area of a Beis Din Shekitshu Boas HaChodesh, the Beis Din that officially declared the declaration of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, that'd be like the Sanhedrin HaGadol, wherever they were located, Bein BeBeis Din Shekitshu Boas HaChodesh, or not that particular Beis Din. They call Yachid VeYachid Chayev L'Skoa. And everybody individually has a chiv, as opposed to Berosh Hashanah, lo hayu token, presumably on Shabbos, ela bebeis din shekidshu bo es hachodesh. Now this is a constraint that we never heard of before. On Rosh Hashanah, shechal b'Shabbos, you'd blow on wherever there's a beis din, as long as that beis din was the beis din shekidshu bo es hachodesh. Ve'ein kol yachid b'yachid chayev l'skoa. And you don't individually, it seems, we're going to have to try to figure out what that last line means. You don't individually have to blow shofar. Okay, so that's the end of that brisa. So now the Gemara says, what does that mean? You don't individually have to blow. My ain kol yachid b'yachid chayev l'skoa. You don't have to blow. Ilema de b'yovel token yachidin, b'rosh Hashanah ain token yachidin. What is that referring to? That means that on Yovel, individual people will blow in the room, but on Rosh Hashanah, not. You don't individually blow shofar? But that can't be, because that goes against the earlier report that we got from what was going on in Yavne. He just repeats to us the tradition, the account that we heard about what was going on in Yavne, namely that everybody would be blowing. So that can't be what was intended by Ein Kol Yachid V'Yachid Chayiv L'Skoa. Okay, I don't know. Somehow or other, the Gemara thinks that this event, the fact that in Yavne individuals would blow shofar, that precludes the possibility of interpreting that Bryce's ruling of Ein Kol Yachid V'Yachid Chayiv L'Skoa from meaning that you as an individual don't have a personal obligation to blow. Because if that were the way it was intended, so then what was everybody doing blowing? So it must be that's something else. So it must be something else. The ilu biyovel token bo bain bisman based in bain shalobisman based in. So it must be something else. It must be like this. That on Yovel you'd blow shofar even if it's not the zman based in. But by Rosh Hashanah, bisman based in shalobisman based in low. In which case, katani mihas. In which case, if that's the way it's understood, so what do you see from in the Braisa? That Biyovel, Bein Bizman Bezdin, Bein Shalom Bizman Bezdin, that they would blow shofar anytime, even without regard to whether the Bezdin are sitting or not, according to this interpretation of the Braisa. And like before, and the Gemara says, lo. No, that's the wrong Diyuk. It's kind of humorous, the way this pattern, the Gemara was making it. Amora would say a statement, and then we would challenge it based on a vague source that we would interpret to have, based on a diuk, to have said something that was against the statement of the Amora. But it wasn't so compelling, so the Amora easily just refuted that by just saying, no, it's not the diuk that you're supposed to make. Just make the diuk like what I said, and then we're good. So that's what's going on over here. Where it says, no, that's not what the Braisa was getting at. It means like this. Katani miyas v'yavah v'yazah mishlam v'yazah mishlam. No. Li'olam bizman beizdin. No, nobody was saying anything about that the beizdin had already adjourned. It was the afternoon. Bachi katani. Here's what the Braisa was distinguishing. It's like this. V'yovel bizman beizdin token. Bein bifnei beizdin, shol bifnei beizdin. And Yovel, in the morning, you would blow whether you were present at the Bezdin or not. But by Rosh Hashanah, token Bizman Bezdin, Bifnei Bezdin. But on Rosh Hashanah, you had to be actually present in order to blow. So everything is very consistent. Itmar Nami, and in fact, other Amoraim said the same thing. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, Amar Rabbi Yossi Ben Shol, Amar Rebbe. Now, this is a tradition that's now quoted in back to the name of Rebbe. Ein token Ella calls Man She Bezdin Yoshevin. Same kind of a thing, that when they're blowing shofar, it's only at the time that the Beis Din are in session. In the morning of Yom Kippur, what else would they be doing on Yom Kippur in the morning? I don't understand it. I can't visualize any of what that life was like. Okay.
Maybe they went to
Bigfoot. Because they didn't have 8 hours of shul.
Yes, they didn't have. But did they have any shul? I mean, what were they doing? We'll have to see more of this in the next Amud. We're in the same kind of a question. Understand, well, none of these people were in shul.
They weren't recreating the Kabbalah, so they were doing the Kabbalah.
Oh. So, yeah, we'll see a little bit of that. The Sanhedrin wasn't doing the Kabbalah, but... All right, we'll see. I don't, okay. Maybe they had their own minion there in the base.
Colin was a busy man that day.
Well, okay. Oh, you mean in the... I see what you mean. In base. Okay, we'll talk about that.
This is not talking during this Mod Base of Major training. We're talking about...
Well, actually, this was talking about Yovel. So, and the Yovel time, that was Bizman and Mikdash. That was Bizman and Mikdash. In the Yovel times.
Today we had
Yovel. I'm not sure whether they were doing Yovel. Yeah, they must have been doing Yovel by Shani and Durban. What? Nowadays, we don't have the Yovel thing going on. In fact, it's actually interesting. Whatever happened to blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah Chal B'Shabbos when there's a Beis Din? We never heard of anybody doing that. Whatever happened to that? This rule is on the books. It was never a point where it said, but Bizman is there. We don't do that. That's it. This is the end of the sugya. So
we have a Bezdin? What constitutes a Bezdin?
Okay, well...
Smicha and
Okay, there you go. So this is what's going on. So the first problem is that some of the Rishonim require that the Beis Din have to be smuchin. And so that's what happened. We lost smicha at some time after this, after the Gemara. Like in the late in the times of the Gemara, we lost smicha. So that was what happened. Others would say, others said that, no, it was the Beis Din we just said before. It's the Beis Din Shekichu Es HaChodesh is the only Beis Din that can... That has the standing to blow shofar on Shabbos, and that's the thing, is that we don't do that anymore. Yeah. There was a, historically, the Rif, when the Rif, Rabbi Yitzchak Galfasi, came to Eretz Yisrael, he actually felt, no, you should be blowing shofar, so he did that. So he blew shofar.
He was in Yerushalayim, or he was just in Eretz Yisrael?
Well, he was a Malkam Shigesh Beis Din. So he so it didn't have to be in Yerushalayim. It was called Malkam Shigesh Beis Din. So... And but what was interesting is that historically they report that that happened to have been one initiative of the Rif that did not catch on. Now some of the Rif's initiatives did catch on, like the fact that they were doing 2 days of Rosh Hashanah altogether. But the but this one about blowing shofar on Shabbos, where the Beis Din was, that never caught on. So okay, so it's hard to say like exactly sharply where did everything fall apart, but it's. Either because of there's no smicha, the Rif didn't think that was the ma'akev, it wasn't they didn't they weren't the Beis Din Shekichibos HaChodesh. Some of the Mefarshim say that that shouldn't have applied anymore because you don't have any Beis Din Shekichibos HaChodesh, so it shouldn't matter. Okay, so in any case, let's go on.
There was no smicha. Who was sitting in Beis Din?
Well, nowadays there's no smicha either. We just carry on anyway without. There are not too many things that really needed the smicha. For to function. So, okay. So it's a little bit unclear exactly what smicha did. What you needed smicha for. I mean, we're not giving anybody any corporal punishment or capital punishment or anything. So, to that extent, we're just doing monetary cases. And you don't necessarily need smuchin for a monetary case. So, we also convert gerim. So, that's all a question about smicha. Okay, let's move on. It says here, two dots. Oh, well, no, the Gemara says, Boy, Rabbi Zeira asked, well, it has to be at the time that the Beis Din are in session. What if the Beis Din hours are over, but they haven't left yet? Boy, Rabbi Zeira, Nina Rila Amod Velo Amdu Mahu. What happens if they haven't left yet? Can you still, Beis Din Yoshim Ba'ina and Vehaika? Do we need the Beis Din? Does it, when it says the Beis Din have to be there, does that mean they have to actually be physically still in the room? Oh, Dilma Zaman Beis Din Bo'ina. Or it means that when the hours are open and they're not, they're closed. Veleka, Gemara says Teku. Okay, we don't know exactly what the rules would require. So we're not sure of the answer. Okay, back to the Mishnah. The Odzos Haisi Yerushalayim Yisera Al Yavna. The Mishnah says, and in this other way, Yerushalayim was different from Yavna. In what way? And the Mishnah continues that even the suburbs would blow shofar. Even the suburbs of Yerushalayim would blow shofar. What does that mean? They would blow shofar bifnei Beis Din? They would come into Yerushalayim? It's a bit unclear. That whole ruling, that whole Yerushalayim concept is unclear. It's a very fascinating thing that the Rishonim over here are not entirely sure what is that referring to. So much so that even one of the Rishonim writes that this was a theoretical ruling that never actually existed ever in time, because they can't place that rule of Yerushalayim, because in the top line of the Mishnah it says in the Mikdash, not in the Medina. Mikdash only, not outside of Mikdash. So they consider Yerushalayim, like Rashi and Tosa say, outside of Mikdash, even Yerushalayim counts as Medina for those purposes. Then somehow or other, suddenly Yerushalayim is now expanded to include the suburbs, and all of the nearby towns are also called Yerushalayim for these purposes. Where did that happen? So was that, and then Tosfos say, that must have been after the Churban. Well, after the Churban, Yerushalayim was a Churban. So there wasn't anything. There was nothing going on in Yerushalayim. What was that time? It's a little bit unclear what was going on there. The Rambam writes that was referring to Mikdash. And it doesn't mean Mikdash. It means Mikdash and all of this. And Yerushalayim and the suburbs and everything, all of that. But still, you need to have a Beis Din. So it means that if you had the suburbs, had a Beis Din there, that would be where you would... All right. Anyway, it's a little bit vague. What does it say here in the Gemara? It says here, which suburbs? It says in the Mishnah, it has to be roesh, omas, krova, yechola levo. Those four conditions. It has to be in sight and in earshot somehow, and nearby and able to travel. Let's take a look here, what it says here. The Gemara just clarifies. Each one of these is telling another condition. Roa prat liyishevus benachal. It has to be in sight of Yerushalayim, not if it's in a nachal. I don't know what town would be built in a nachal. Those things are prone to flash floods that will destroy. I don't understand. Shamas prat liyishevus berosh ahar. It has to be able to hear as opposed to if it was Rosh Ahar. I don't know what the acoustics are like.
Well, no,
Krova.
How would mean that you're very far away and still see your Yerushalayim? Because you're up on a mountain. So if you're on a mountain very far away and you see your Yerushalayim, that doesn't count.
But I mean, that's what it means. Shomas, not if you are so far away. Oh, I see. In other words, the requirement of Shamas requires that it be close enough to hear, not just just in sight, as such as if you were on a Rosh Ahar where you could see even at a distance.
Okay. 30 miles away.
Okay, fair enough. That would get excluded in any case from the next line, which is, and Krova, which means that it has to be close, and how close is close? Pratli Yeshevus Chutz L'Tchum, it has to be within a mil. So, okay, you can't get that far away, it has to be a mil. And Yechola Levo, Pratli Mafsik La Nahara. And has to be Yechola Levo as opposed to if it were on the other side of a Nahar. Anyway, Mishnah, okay, let's move on. Next Mishnah. What?
There's nothing around Yerushalayim.
I also was wondering, I don't understand why we're being like descriptive of policy here. We're talking about Yerushalayim, we're talking about the area around Yerushalayim. What region will be able to blow shofar? Why are they so kind of vague and give guidelines? Why are they guidelines? Why can't they just identify where you could blow and can't blow?
The mill would have been enough to just say there's a distance.
Right, so start with mill and then say within a mill. You have additional constraints also. Okay, I understand. Anyway, back to the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Barishona hayahalulav nital. This is a little bit parenthetic. We have this Mishnah elsewhere where it really belongs. This is only brought in kind of derech agav. Barishona hayahalulav nital b'mikdash shiva b'medina yom echad. Originally, the lulav was taken in the Migdash all week of Sukkot. Right, that's based on a pasuk over here. We don't get into it. It's from the Mishnah in Sukkah. They would take the lulav and esrog in the Migdash all week of Sukkot. Ube Medina yom echad, but outside of the Migdash, only one day. They didn't have dalid minim all week of Sukkot. It was only the first day. That's it. Mishachar based on Migdash. Hiskur Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shehei lulav nital b'medina shiva. Zeicher l'migdash. That's what we do. This thing has endured. This takana has endured for a long time. That from the Churban time on, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted everybody worldwide to take the dalad minim all week of Sukkot long. Zeicher l'migdash. To remember what things were like in the Migdash, which is what it was, but not outside of the Migdash. V'sheyehei, and he also instituted at the time of the Churban, Sheyehei yom hanei for henef, Kulo Asur. Yom Hanef Kulo Asur refers to the second day of Pesach. All grain that grows treif, grows as charash, until second day of Pesach, when you bring a Korban Omer, and then that transforms all of the grain into yashan. That's the rule of charash. And that would require a Korban Omer. It says in the Pasuk that when you bring the Korban Omer, so then that makes all the... That makes all the grain kosher. What happens when there is no Korban Omer? If there's no Korban Omer, our Gemara, for the next 10 lines or so, our Gemara is going to assume, well, if there's no Korban Omer, it can't remain trei forever. So the morning of the second day of Pesach will automatically, just by itself, transform the Chadash into Yashan. And if you have a Beis HaMikdash, and if you have a Korban available, so then that Heter gets postponed until the actual Hakravas HaOmer. That's the premise of what's going on over here. And then it says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that after the Korban, he says, you know what, don't do that. Wait until the end of the day. Don't eat any Chadash products on the second day of Pesach. Wait until that day is fully over. Okay, so that we're going to explore that in two lines. Back to the first line of the Mishnah where it says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted a couple of things, Zeichel HaMikdash, Minalan the Avdin and Zeichel HaMikdash. Then how do you know that's the right thing to do? The Yomar Kra. And how do you know that the right thing is like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did, to make some halachos as a zecher to the Mikdash? The Yomar Kra, Kiyala Aruchalach, Lamimakosayach, Erpaeich, Neum Hashem, Kinidacha Karulach, Tzion Hi, Doreshein La. Pasuk says, Tzion Hi, that's the emphasis here, that it's Tzion Doreshein La. People are not inquiring into it, paying attention to it. Mechlal deboy drisha. Mechlal, that you are supposed to be paying attention to Yerushalayim, and therefore the implication being that when it's not there, you're supposed to take steps to make sure that you don't forget about it. Like Yemeshkechev Yerushalayim, that kind of a concept. Okay, now, interestingly, that was a pasuk in Yirmiyahu and Navi. So the question could not really have been what the source in the Chumash for the value of making a Zeichel LeMikdash was. It was even just asking kind of as a remez. Where do you see even a remez that such a thing is appropriate? Okay, two dots. V'shei yom enef kulo asur. The second Takana of Yochanan Zakkai here mentioned in this Mishnah is that Chadash should only become Mutter at the end of day two, meaning on day three of Pesach, and not day two of Pesach. The Gemara asks here, my time? Why did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai want to hold off? Because he said, you know what can happen? Meher Yibana HaMikdash? Because soon the Mikdash will be back. The Yomru. And people are going to say, Ishtakad, last year. So people who get used to eating the Omer starting the beginning of day two are suddenly going to find themselves now in a new world of a Beis HaMikdash. And that's going to make changes. People are going to be caught off guard. Namely what? People are going to say, well, last year Milo Achalna Beheir Mizrach? Well, last year didn't we eat on the second day of Pesach? Achshav Nami Nechol. Well, so this year also, Velo Yadi, and they're not going to realize the Ishtakad Lo Hava Omer. So last year there was no Korban Omer. And this matters, and Heir Mizrach eat here, and it was the morning that made it Mutter, Hashta the Ika Omer, Omer Matir. But now that the Beis HaMikdash is back, we have a Korban Omer, so the Omer's Matir.
There was no concern about chametz the second day of Pesach from the new grain?
Well, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, that was the regular rule of Omer. And grain by itself is not chametz, only if you don't properly care for it and keep it from becoming chametz. So whatever the precautions were that they were always going to be doing, so then that's what they would do.
So they would actually bake matzah on Pesach.
The Chumash even describes, they would have to be kotzer grain the night of Motzei, first day of Pesach, first night of Chol HaMoed. They would all go out and make a whole grain cutting ceremony, and then they would spend some time mashing it up, whatever, and then the next morning they would bring the Korban Omer. So Sfiras HaOmer actually would begin that night. The Sfiras HaOmer would start at the night, and it would be even before they brought this Korban Omer. And then the Korban HaOmer, when it was brought, it was a mincha, this Omer. And they would bring this Korban HaOmer, it was Seorim. It was Seorim, it was not Chitin, it was barley grain. So in any case, yeah, they would have to be careful while it was growing. You don't have to be so careful because it's just growing. But then once they harvest it, they're going to have to make sure it's dry, right? I mean, it's the dry season. At that point already, it's Pesach time. Okay, so in any case, the Gemara here says, I don't understand. What is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai foreseeing is going to happen and cause trouble? The Ivni Amos. When is he imagining Beis HaMikdash is going to get built? So it says here, where it says here, the Ivni... Demivni Amos. Elena the Ivni Beshitzar. Wait a minute, you mean it was built on the second day of Pesach itself that morning? It was built the morning of the second day of Pesach, the 16th of Nisan? Harei Heir Mizrach. But if there's no Beis HaMikdash by the morning time, then it is Mutter already in the morning time. So the fact that eventually, that in another couple of hours we'll have a Beis HaMikdash is not going to make a difference. Elo the Ivni Bechameser. So what are you going to tell me? That it was built yesterday? It was built yesterday. Beis HaMikdash now was built yesterday. On Pesach itself. So then that's the problem. The problem is then the morning won't work. Mechatzos hayom ola halon l'shteri. Now the Gemara says, hold on a minute. If that's what we're talking about, and I have to say that I don't quite get exactly why the Gemara is trying to squeeze the Binyan Habayis right onto the day of the Korban Omer. What can they say? Sometime during the year. I don't know. It doesn't matter when it was built. It was built sometime during the year, between last year and this year. It'll be the same issue. But the point is, the Gemara says, okay, so let's even go with that. There was a Beis HaMikdash that was built yesterday. So that still shouldn't require waiting all day until night. It doesn't require waiting all day until night. Why couldn't the rule be, what would be the halacha bizman HaMikdash? Bizman HaMikdash, they would bring the Korban Omer, and then your grain is mutter. Well, if you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you could watch that happening. What if you're not in the Mikdash? When would you be allowed to eat? Zigmar says, by policy, the rule is, from Chatzos HaYom on, everybody in the world can eat. The Ha'tanan, because after all, it says in this Mishnah, HaRechokin Mutar Mechatzos HaYom Ola Halan. The people who are far away, namely, not in the Mikdash, or not right nearby in Yerushalayim, so they don't know what's going on in the Mikdash, but they are already allowed to eat Chadash. It turns, in other words, they can consider it Yashan already at Chatzos HaYom on the second day of Pesach, because Levisha Ein Bezim is Aslim Bo. Because you could be sure that by Chatzos, they've already offered this Korban. So really, there was never a time that the second half of the day ever was an Iser. So why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai have to make the law that after the Korban, you have to wait until evening? Why evening? If they were from Chatzos HaYom, they would be just as safe. So the Gemara says, well, lo nitzrucha de ivni be chamesar samach lishkia sachama. Yanami de ivni be lilia. So that's what the Gemara has to say. Well, no, maybe it was built in such a way that they had the mikdash, but they would not have been able to bring the korban. Okay, well, that's... So therefore, because they had the mikdash, the morning would not matir chadash, turn it into yashan, but neither would they be able to do what they would normally be doing, which is by bringing the omer by the morning time, they wouldn't even necessarily be able to get everything ready to be able to bring the korban omer at all, and that would be why the whole day would have to go by before the heter. Okay, so because of that possibility, that's why everybody will always have to not eat chadash the whole second day of Pesach. And the Gemara changes the whole thing. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, nah, you got the whole thing wrong. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was not, he was holding B'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amara. He was saying his rule following Rabbi Yehuda's policy. What's Rabbi Yehuda's policy? The Amara etzem hayom hazeh ad atzma shel yom. Because of her ad v'yad bichlal. Rabbi Yehuda is explicit that when there's no mikdash and there's no korban omer, you have to wait to the end of the day. It's not the morning that makes it mutter. It's the end of the day that makes it mutter. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was following that policy. So in other words, his shita was that min ha-Torah, when there's no mikdash and there's no korban, the chadash remains chadash the entire day until that night. Okay, if that's the case, so we understand why you have to wait until the end of that day.
He's not making a takana.
Right. So that's what the Gemara says. But it's impossible. Because misavar l'kevasei? But how could he hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the hamafling polygla? He's obviously arguing this nanri shachar based on midish. His kid, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, yemen of kulo asur. And Rabbi Yehuda says to him, what are you talking about? V'alo min ha-Torah the asur. D'chsiv aretz mi yamazeh. So it's very clear that that was a machlokes. He couldn't say that he was holding like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, yeah, that's what it looks like, but really, it only looks like that because Rabbi Yehuda was at fault. Rabbi Yehuda misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's shita. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, who said, what are you talking about? It's been a Torah. He misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He thought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was making a takana, and he was the one making the takana wrong. Who the katoi? He was making a mistake. Iusav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a rabbanan kuamar. He thought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was only making a rule to rabbanan velohi, but he's wrong. Made a oraisa kuamar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai meant what Rabbi Yehuda was saying, that min ha-Torah it's forbidden to eat that chadash until the day is over. v'hayiskin katani, but it says the word hiskin. My hiskin darash v'hiskin. The Gemara says, now this is a usage of the word hiskin, not conventional. It means he publicized this law that never had any expression before. It was never needed before because it was Odeis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the one who made the proclamation of make sure you wait until the end of the day in compliance with the Torah's law. Not because of a Zechel HaMikdash or a fear of a possibility of people messing up when they build a Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah says...
He's just publicizing Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, he was agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda. He was saying, holding the same way himself. And he was just publicizing this din. This policy of waiting until the end of the day. All right, there's a mission over here. We've seen this mission before, even when we learned Beitza. Barishona hayim akamayis achodesh kol hayom. Originally, and we don't know exactly how far back this originally goes, but originally, they would be makabel edis achodesh kol hayom. It's not clear ever that this is actually only on Rosh Hashanah, because almost everything that was going on over here would have been applicable for any Rosh Chodesh. Any Rosh Chodesh would also have that these same concerns, but let's go with that it's Rosh Hashanah. The Beis Din would sit waiting for Adam to come in and say, last night we saw the new moon after Shkia, and we're coming to tell you about it, so that they could declare today as Aleph Tishrei Rosh Hashanah. Otherwise, we're just kind of pending. So, Hayim Mekab Menes HaChodesh Kol Hayom. Pam Achas, one time, Nishu Ha'edim Elavo, the Adam didn't come until later in the afternoon, but they did eventually come in the afternoon, v'niskalkalu ha'levim b'shir. And the Levim were singing the shir, the Karbanis, they messed up because they waited for a while. They figured nobody was coming anymore. Normally people are, the Adam that come and they declare the Rosh Hashanah in the morning. Didn't happen. So they figured it was not going to happen today. It was Erev Rosh Hashanah today. They called it a weekday. And they brought the Korban as if it's a weekday. Hiskina Shaliyah Mekab, and they got messed up, and then Adam came, and then it became Rosh Hashanah, so they were messed up. Hiskina, so they instituted at that time, during the second Beis HaMikdash period sometime, Shaliyah Mekab Mela Ara Mincha, that the Beis then would kind of close up at Mincha time. Apparently they, on Rosh Hashanah, they were sitting in session even in the afternoon. Shaliyah Mekab Mela Ara Mincha, the Yimbo Adam, and a Mincha Ulamala, no Aginos Ayim Kodesh Ulamacher Kodesh. And if Adam do come, then they would ignore the Adam, and that even though that should have been the day of the Rosh Hashanah, they would consider the Rosh Hashanah to be tomorrow also, and today also, and therefore it would be Yom Arichta. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and there was no longer any problems of Beis HaMikdash associated with a late Eidus, he's going to be Yochad Mezakei, Shimakam Eidus HaChodesh Kol HaYom. Gemara asks, "Ma kilkol kilkolu halavim? What went wrong, actually?" Haha, targimu shelo amr shira kol yikar. Over here in Bavel, we understand what happened was that they didn't sing any shira because they just didn't know what to do. And Rabbi Zera there in Eretz Yisrael said, "Shamr shira schol im tamish abein harbayim," and that was the mess up. So now we're going to have a little bit of a discussion about that error. Was it that they did the wrong shira or no shira? Amar lo Rabbi Zera li Ahava Berei. Rabbi Zera tells his son Ahava in Eretz Yisrael, Puk Tanilahu, go and teach those guys in Bavel the following Braisa. Hiskinu shelo yu mekabel meiris achodesh ela kedei sheyei shehus biyom lakiv temidin musafin veneskeyem velo mashira shelo b'shibush. End quote. That was a Braisa. The Braisa was that... That they instituted a little bit more information in a braisa than we have in this mishnah. Shelo yumekam eidus achodesh ella, that they should only sit in the until the early part of the afternoon, which would enable them to have the time to be makriv the tamidin and musafin v'niskehem and to say the shira without shibush, without mistake. So yamer bishlame amar shira dechol. This is Rabbi Zera now saying, you see. It's what I said, that they said the shira of the weekday. They said the wrong shira. That's why it's called, so that they should not say, be able to say the shira without mistake. That would have been the mistake. Ela yamer shelo amar klal, my shibushika. But if the point wasn't what they did, was they didn't say the shira at all, then you wouldn't describe that as not a mistake, as saying the shira with a mistake. Kimad lo amar klal, But the others responded with that with, well, duh, if they didn't say the shir at all, that's a mistake. Okay, again, weak diuk and nevertheless easily refuted. Masi Ravacha Bar Huna. Ravacha Bar Huna asked the Kasha. Tamid shel Rosh Hashanah Shachris Karv Kilchaso. The Braisa, this is Masi Ravacha Bar Huna was quoting this Braisa. It says, look, at Rosh Hashanah, they would, in the morning, the Tamid shel Shachar always was brought in the morning early on, almost always without any awareness of what Beis Din was going to do, and they would bring the korban with kehilchaso, which is understood by Rashi and others as being with the weekday shir shel yom, always by policy. Ube musaf mahu omer, but what would they say at musaf time? Harninu lelukim uzenu hariu leluke Yaakov, which is our shir shel yom of Thursday. But mincha mahu omer kol Hashem yachil midbar. Okay, that's the Mizmor LeDavid that we say we need to put the Torah back. But when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday, Shashira Shelo Harninu, where the regular weekday Shir Shel Yom would be the Harninu one, so then how do you make the distinction between Rosh Hashanah's Shira and the weekday morning Shira, which they already just said this morning? It says, well, so then they would plan ahead. If Rosh Hashanah was on Thursday, they would plan ahead, and they would split that paragraph into two, and they would say, Lo haya omer b'shachris harninu, and shachris, they would plan ahead, and they would only say the half of that paragraph, mipnei shecho, they wouldn't say the harninu one, mipnei shechozer kofel elasaperek, because they know in the afternoon they're going to get to that, elamahu omer hasirosim yisevel shechmo, they would say only like that part. But what happens if in the morning they didn't know if it's going to be declared Rosh Hashanah or not? So they couldn't plan ahead. So what would they do? So then they would have to say the whole Shira, the weekday Shira. Omer Harninu. Even though if they do declare it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, they're going to say it again anyway at Mincha time. Choser v'kofel asaperek. So now look. So this was all supposed to be kind of a long argument against. Well, let's see. Yamrit b'shlama kol eichad misafka amrinan shir dechol. Right. So this is all Rabbi Zera talking again. So you see, if it makes everything will make sense if cases of doubt lead to saying the shira of chol, so that we understand what's going on over here. That's why on Thursday they would say the weekday shira, knowing that they don't know if it's going to remain that weekday or if it's going to turn into Rosh Hashanah. But according to the Bnei Bavel, according to the people of Tam Bavli, the Amoraim and Bavel, who said that the mistake was that they didn't say any Shira because it could be wrong, my Omra Vakoflo. What does that mean that they would say the weekday Shira on the Thursday? After all, they're aware it might be Rosh Hashanah, in which case that's the wrong thing to say. So obviously you see that you do say the weekday Shira, knowing that it may not be that way, and therefore that must have been what they did in the Mikdash, and that must have been the Kilkul, and that must be what's going on. Mar says, what are you talking about? Shiny Hasam, the Shira de Yomehu. No. When it's the weekday Shira, it's the Harninu. And the Rosh Hashanah Shira would be part of Harninu, but Harninu is appropriate in that day. It's just that they would want you to start farther down, but it's not inappropriate. So then if you're not sure what to do, play it safe and say the whole Shira. But in the case of the Mishnah, it was the afternoon shir, which it's not appropriate to say the weekday shir shel yom. That's not what you should be saying. It's either one or the other. That's it only. And so in that case, they were not sure what to do, and they didn't say anything according to the Bnei Bavel, and that was the kilkul. Okay.